Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading from the book of Revelation, the words of the Lord Jesus to John, and through John to the church at Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give unto him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray that we'll have an ear to hear what has been said to this church and the other six spoken to here as well in Asia, and then the letters to the rest of the churches as well. Paul writing to some of them, Peter to others, James still to others. And here it is the message of the Lord Jesus Christ through John to the churches and to us. Our Father, we give thanks for these words. We give thanks for all of thy word. We give thanks especially, particularly for him of whom we read. These things saith the Son of God. Help us to know, Father, that Christ is truly thy Son, thy eternal Son. And though we can become sons through adoption, through salvation, we know that he was with thee in the beginning, and he was one with thee. And as John could tell us in another gospel, that he was God. Help us to see these things as they are, to know thee as the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Help us to know the Lord Jesus as he came in the flesh, manifest among us. And as John could also say in his epistles, the one that he knew and held and was with, that he declared him to us. Help us to have ears to hear and hearts to understand, to know who we are believing in. As thou hast said by the pen of Paul, how can they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how can they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And we have here John preaching to this church and to us. And we pray that as we seek to understand these words, that we might know them rightly for thy glory, for the upbuilding of the church, that it might be revived, and for the gathering in of the world, that multitudes might yet be gathered in our time before thy coming, Lord Jesus, on the clouds of glory. Help us to see these things as they are. Give us eyes to see, and ears to hear, and a heart to understand, that we may know the Scriptures, and we give thanks again for them. We give thanks, as Lord Jesus, you have said to us, that heaven and earth will pass away, but thy word will never pass away. Help us to know that it is the word as given through Moses, through Samuel, through Joshua, through David, through Isaiah, and the rest of the prophets, and then the gospel writers and the apostles. Help us to know, Father, that it is a holy word, a word that thou hast warned not to add to it or take it away. And we know there are those who wrest the Scriptures to their own destruction. We know there are those who imitate it and who would write down part of it and change it, and especially try to change the Lord Jesus from being the Son of God to only a prophet, and a lesser prophet than even others. Help us to see that thou art that prophet that never changes, that, Lord Jesus, you are the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that thou alone, Lord Jesus, art the prophet that died for our sins and rose again. Help us to hear thy voice now through this letter. Help us to know thy voice at all times, both by thy word and spirit. And we pray that that word may soon be given to those who have never heard its message, and that it might be given in such power and pricking of the heart that we will be revived in the church. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings that are needed. We give thanks for those that are given, especially to us who are so much more blessed in the ways of nature than many others. We pray for those that are suffering, homeless, hungry, flooding, drought, wind, all these calamities, the earthquakes, and we pray, Father, that Thou wilt look on them in mercy, and especially that Thou wilt teach many through these things that Thou art God. Thou art the one in control of nature, and nature is not that which is at the becking of men. But even as Thou hast told us of Israel, that Thou descended to reign on one city and not another, help us to know that it is all in Thy hand, and that the heavens declare Thy glory. We pray, Father, also for those that need Thy healing hand in sickness, those in lonesomeness, the broken homes. We pray for the schools. We pray especially for the children in those troubled and broken homes. Thou wilt teach them and keep them. We pray all these things and give thanks, Father, through Christ alone. Amen. As we see these words, and as we've just prayed, that God would hear us through Christ alone, not on what we do and Him, but what He has done. And though we know that there are other things that must fall in line, God's teaching us to pray and are praying according to His will, but always and only through Christ. Here we see these words written to the seven churches. Last week we ended with the words given to the church at Pergamos, and the last word to them was Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. We ended our message last week with making a reference to those in John chapter 8, that when they heard the words of Christ, they believed on Him, and He said to those who did believe on Him that if they continued in His word, then they would be His disciples and they would know the truth, and the truth would set them free. Before that, the Lord Jesus had said that He was the bread of life. He was the manna from heaven. He was the one that we had to eat His body and drink His blood, or we had no life in us. All of that is included in these very simple and plain words. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. Yes, Christ is hidden to those who do not know their need of reconciliation with God through Him, do not know the need of Him dying for their sin. The apostles had to have their understanding opened on the afternoon, the evening of the resurrection. We read in the Gospel of Luke, He opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. It's only to the Scriptures that we know the Gospel. We might hear it from others, but faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How quickly we can get away from that. How quickly we can get away, especially from the need to be justified before God, that we want to enter into or keep cling to our own works, and sometimes think that an increase of them is all that we need, though we certainly need that. We need, first of all, a Savior that has died for us, and that we have that hidden manna, that He becomes sweet to us. Not as Isaiah said, when we saw Him, there was no bitter that we should desire Him. Not as Solomon wrote, the full soul loatheth the honeycomb, doesn't even like the sweetness of honey when we're so full of other things. And that's the way we can be with Christ. Here He is spoken of not only as the hidden manna, but then I will give Him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Christ alone is the white stone. He is the rock on which David was placed. Psalm 40, He took me out of a horrible pit and placed my feet upon a rock and put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. And then in that stone, in Christ, our name is written, along with the Lamb's Book of Life, as we can read up in the book of Revelation, in different places, in at least three different places where we read written in the Lamb's Book of Life, some who were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and others who were written there. And it is God that writes our name in that book. He is the one that has chosen us, saved us, and given us Christ, and makes us know, as we read in that next letter, the Son of God. The Son of God took on him the form of a man, and then humbled himself to the death of the cross. There are those who do not believe he is one with the Father, even in what is called the Christian religion. Heathen religions say the same thing, and even we often speak of the Judeo-Christian religion, Judaizers do not believe that Christ has come. Some of them may believe in a Messiah to come, as Paul said, looking for him, as the Pharisees did, but not believing that he has come and has died, and he must yet pour out his Spirit, as he stated by the prophet Zechariah, "I will pour out the Spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall mourn over me whom they have already pierced." 1900 and some years ago, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they said it of him who thought it not robbery to be equal with the Father, and who took on him the form of a man, humbling himself to the death of the cross. And then we can shout, "Wherefore God hath given him a name which is above every name." Every name. I won't mention names, but there are those today who think they have a name above the name of the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. They think he is of the past, and others have taken place now. But he is the first and the last. As we read in the first chapter of Revelation, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first letter of the Greek alphabet, the last, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and is to come, the Almighty." And not just one that's going to come back into place to come, but one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Prophet, priest, and king. The same kind of prophet he has always been. The same kind of a priest that he's always been. Abel looked to him. David looked to him, Paul looked to him, and we must look to him. And king, always king, king of the universe, king of creation. He spoke the word with the Father, and all things came into existence. And he upholds the same by the word of his power. And as he said, after his crucifixion, resurrection, before he ascended, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." He doesn't always exercise it. And as we've mentioned before, Paul writes in Romans concerning Pharaoh. He said, God raised him up that he might make his power known. Sometimes he allowed the Israelites to go on suffering. He allowed Pharaoh to make their burdens heavier rather than to give them freedom immediately. Then he sent the 10 plagues, and finally that last plague of the firstborn in every home would be killed. The death angel came, except to Israel, for those who had put the blood on the doorpost. The blood that signified the Son of God. Yes, the Son of God. "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." Last week we sang on our broadcast, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you? Do you know the need of it?" It's alone that which you can say with David, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." Yes, the blood of him as the last verse again of that last letter. We'll give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name that no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. And now continuing in this letter, the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He describes himself differently to each one of the seven churches. But this is the way John saw him, as described in that first chapter. He said there, Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And here he is describing himself in that particular way, taking those two things of the description given further and more fully in that first chapter, but here those two, eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. He knows all things. His eyes go into the dark. How often things are done in the dark. Thieves often steal in the dark. Many sins are done, supposedly, in the dark. But Christ sees them all. He has eyes like a flame of fire. The darkness and the light are both alike to him. He is, as he said, I am the light of the world. Many times he made reference to that in the Gospel of John. John also in his epistle writes, God is light. Him is no darkness at all. Satan is called the prince of darkness. We read much of the works of darkness. But Christ knows every one, and he knows those deeds of darkness here in this church when he says, I have eyes like us unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. He mentions their works twice. The first part of the 19th verse, I know thy works. And then again after, and patience, and thy works, the last to be more than the first. I'm not sure what he's referring to there. Sometimes we have the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. We have the fruits of the Spirit all done through Christ. As Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And the Lord Jesus said just before he died, without me you can do nothing. I am the vine and you are the branches. Those are the works that produce charity and service and faith and patience. And other works, the works of the flesh. Both are mentioned by Paul in his letter to the Galatians. The fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh. All the works of the flesh are evil. Paul said of himself, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He also stated, the flesh striveth against the Spirit, so you cannot do those things that you would. And when we sow to the flesh, all we will do is reap corruption. God said by the pen of Paul, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. We must see that. We must know that. Our flesh needs to be crucified. It can be crucified, probably can be subdued. If we set our mind to it, we can probably somewhat control our flesh. But the flesh always rises up. As John wrote in his first epistle, the second chapter, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Strangely, our flesh is evil. And our flesh is proud. We can even know both at the same time. We might know that we have some deeds of the flesh that are sin. And still in other ways, we are proud. We think we are not like others. when God says we are without profit together. Are we better than they? Paul asks the question, in no wise we have together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's when he's speaking when we are only in the flesh, left in the flesh, still dead in sin. God doesn't see any good. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so when we read here, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and patience, then it is working out our salvation, like Paul wrote to the Philippians. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he stated, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Yes, faith is a gift of God as well as all other things, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, not of our works. We're saved by grace, undeserved, unearned, God giving grace through Christ, giving the power of grace by his Spirit. As earlier in that chapter, quickened together with Christ. When we walked contrary to God's way, we're children of wrath even as others. And then when it comes to works being done, Paul goes on in that second chapter of Ephesians, the 10th verse states, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Earlier he says, not of works that any man should boast. And then he says, created in Christ Jesus. Created. Not improved them. Not teaches us in them how to do it better, but creates us, puts his Spirit in us. Again, those words, without me, you can do nothing. We can fall like a stone, but we can't lift ourselves up. We can't change ourselves. And so when we read here, I know thy works, and then the fruits of the Spirit, charity, service, faith, patience, and then he goes to the sad works following that. Our time is gone, but look to Christ first to be justified, then to be sanctified.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.